And tonight, I feel like we're going to look at a topic that all of us have wondered about. And the question is why are we here? Like, what are we created for? What were we made for? When God thought about you and I, what was he thinking about? You know, we live in a world that tells us that we're here. We're just here because, you know, of our parents. Hey, one night. And that's why we're here. But we serve a God. What does that mean? What is he? We serve a God that tells us, man, that he has a plan and a purpose. And before the foundations of the earth were made, he knew about us. And so that leads us to question, why are we here? And that's the very same question, man, that honestly kind of led me back to God. I grew up in the church. I had a lot of knowledge about God. I didn't have really any sort of experience with God, but I experienced sin. And so experience is always going to be greater than knowledge. And so at Celebration, that's why we want you to experience God. Amen. We don't want to come up here and just preach to you and give you knowledge, but we want you to experience God. And I can remember driving on 95, and I've said this in here before, and feeling like I had reached kind of these milestones in my life, like, all right, I'm graduating college. Okay, I'm married now. I have a house. I have a kid. I have a good career. Like, I had reached all of these things in my life. And I can still remember sitting in traffic on 95 and just literally crying. Like, just really being, like, just crying, and not that cool, like, one lone tear down the cheek, but just, like, I get to work, and my boss is like, dude, what happened? And I would have to say, like, some ridiculous lie. But, man, I can just remember that feeling. I can remember that emptiness. I can remember sitting there and saying to myself, like, I have no idea what I'm made for. What I'm doing right now, man, this isn't fulfilling me. This isn't making me happy. I don't feel like I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And then I piled it on top and said, I don't even know how to find out what I'm made for. And if I find out what I'm made for, I don't even know how to do it. And I bet that there's some of you in here that feel like that. That maybe, man, you are wondering, like, what am I made for? Like, when God thought of me, like, what did he think of me for, and what did he make me for, and am I here just because? Is it some random accident? Is it something that happened? Because I can promise you that God has a plan and a purpose for you. And tonight what I want to talk about is I want to talk about why I think we're here, and we're going to do that. I want to ask you questions. I want to ask you questions that will hopefully help us to think through this, because these are all the same questions that I went through. And the first question is what is your role? What is your role? It says this in Colossians 1:16. It says, for by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. All things were created by him and for him. See, what Paul is saying there is that God has created everything. He's created me, you, animals, plants. Everything was created for God, and everything was created by God. And so because we were created for and by God, you have a plan. Think about this. If you were to make something, if you were to sit down and to make something with your hands, you have a purpose in mind with that. There is a reason that you are creating this. There is a reason that you are taking time to do this. And what Paul is saying is, that's you. That God has created you, and he has a purpose for you. And what happens is because of that, God is saying, I am making you, and I'm inviting you to what I'm doing. I'm going to invite you into my story. But as humans, as his people, and as me, this was me. I wanted to invite God into my story. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, God, I'm not sure if you've seen what Josh is doing down here. Pretty awesome stuff. Why don't you get involved on this? And so what I was trying to do is I was trying to find ways to fit God into my life instead of submitting myself to God. And when you do that, and when you get all messed up, when you start living for the wrong things, when God is an afterthought in your life, you're not going to know what your role is. And you can have all the money, you can have all the prestige, you can have the jobs, the wives, the wives, what? Where, what church am I in right now? Yikes. The kids, the wife, the cars, all of that. And if I see someone over there still laughing. He did it. You could have all of that. And you could completely still not know what your role is. And if you're not living in the role that God has created you for, man, you're going to be lost. You're going to be hurting. You're going to be messed up. And so, what is our role? And my question to you is are you fitting God into your role, or are you fitting into God's role? Are you asking God to be a part of your story, or are you being a part of God's story? Because I can promise you this. I tried to be a part of Josh's story for a very long time. I learned two things. The first one is I'm an idiot, and I make really bad choices. My mom and dad are in here. They're like, they don't have any idea. The second one is that, man, if you step into what God is calling you to and what he has made you for, you will do things in your life that you would never imagine. I was walking in the back tonight, and I'm looking at the building, and I was like, I can't believe I get to preach. Because I sat over there and got saved here. I rededicated my life here, sitting back there. And it was, and I had, I mean, it absolutely boggles my mind that I get to come in here and share the word of God. Because I think that sometimes we think God is like Zeus and he's got a lightning bolt. And he's like, I'm going to zap him if he does it one more time. But he's not that way. And when you step into the role that God is calling you to, man, you are going to get to do things in your life that you could never imagine and you could never do on your own. And when you do that, man, that is when, like, we just got back from Louisiana. We went to our church is a part of a conference called ARC, the Association of Related Churches. And we went over there, and there's this huge conference. Pastor Stovall spoke. It was awesome. He had veins coming out of his neck. You know how he gets. Everybody's like, yeah, like going berserk. I got to do a breakout on student ministries where people asked me questions about student ministries. I think I was the most surprised person in that room. And I'm like, do y'all really want to hear what I have to say? And the thing that I've learned is they don't want to hear what Josh Turner has to say. They want to hear what the Spirit of God living in Josh Turner has to say. And the same goes for you. And this is what Paul says. Listen, he says this in Galatians 2:20. He says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And what Paul is saying is, man, I've lived a life that was for me. I've lived a life that was all about Paul. Everything was about me. But I don't live like that anymore. I've been crucified with Christ, and now I live for him. See, Paul realized and Paul learned that his role was to be a part of God's story. Our role, if you're taking notes, is to play a small but significant role in God's story. Your role on this earth, one of your roles, is to play a small but significant story. Small but significant part in God's story. Sorry, I've been drinking Pepto-Bismol for like 3 days. Let me tell you something else I learned in Louisiana. You can't eat crawfish for 3 days straight. And that's it. I'm just telling you. Don't ever say I didn't teach you anything. So that's another little life lesson. And so what Paul realized that his role and our role is to play a small but significant part in God's story. A couple weeks ago in Sub 30, which is our college service, I'm going to be real honest with you guys tonight. We got, not like I'm never not honest, but even more so. The way our services in youth ministry are, they go Fuse, which is youth, and then Sub 30, they go back to back. And so I'd gotten upset that night in Fuse about some things. I'd gotten upset because there weren't a lot of kids there that night. And as a pastor, I want to see kids coming to know Christ. I want to see them coming in there. I want to see their parents bringing them, because I'm going to tell you, they're hurting. And they're messed up sometimes. And they need someone to take them aside and sit with them and tell them about the love of Jesus. And so I have about 60 to 70 adult leaders that are there every Wednesday night to do nothing more than to sow into the lives of students. And so we were there that night. I think it was like spring break, but I was still upset about it. And I was talking to a couple of my buddies on staff afterwards, and I was just venting. You know how venting quickly becomes complaining? And so I'm venting to my friends about some stuff. And so then Sub 30, the college service, started right afterwards. And I'm standing in the back, and I'm just kind of by myself. I love watching people worship. I know that sounds kind of creepy, but I do. I just love seeing people encounter God. And there was this girl, and man, I've never seen her before, and she was just, I'm talking, going after it with God. I mean, worshiping, crying, like just, I mean, like nobody else in the entire room. And I stood back and I watched her the entire time, and I walked up to her afterwards. And I said in the least creepy way possible, I was watching you from that dark corner. No, but seriously, I did say that, but I had to figure out a way. I walked up and I just said, hey, I don't want to sound like a creeper, but I was watching you from over there, and man, you were really going after God. And that was absolutely just amazing to see that. She looks at me, she goes, are you the pastor? I was like, yes. She goes, sit down, God wants me to tell you something. Sometimes you get crazy stuff after people say that to you. You're going to move to the Serengeti and wrestle elephants for the, you know. So like, I was prepared, I was literally prepared for anything at this moment. You know, I'm just like, what is this woman going to say to me? And so I sit down, and she looks at me, she goes, God tells me to tell you to quit worrying about numbers and look at the fruit that your ministry is producing. And I'm like, okay. And then she looks at me and she goes, and God also told me to tell you to quit worrying about your family because he's holding them in the palm of his hand. And I have a special needs daughter. And she said that to me and I was like, thank you, you know, like, and you just kind of like spin away into the shadows so no one sees me crying. And I'm literally like, I walked up to one of my buddies I had just been talking to, and I'm like, that girl over there, she just read my mail. You know, like, and so I told him everything, and he's like, yeah, and just like walked off. And I'm, but here's what's amazing in that. God used her in a small but significant way. God, I mean, she didn't stand up on stage and she didn't Billy Graham it. She wasn't preaching the thousands. She didn't go feed 16 orphans. And I mean, she just told a bald-headed dude wearing tight pants, God has something he wants to say to you. And listen, that marked me. There will never be a moment in my life where I forget some girl that I creeped out telling me what God wanted me to hear. So what is it right now? Listen, in your life, that God wants to use you for. What is that small but significant thing? Man, it could be, if you're a student, getting on the bus tomorrow and sitting next to the kid that nobody sits next to. In business, it could be you being the honest, upright businessman that God has called you to be. Moms, dads, it could be raising godly children and getting them here on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. But seriously, what is that small but significant role? Because here's the amazing thing. You are significant because Christ's sacrifice makes you significant. What is it? Listen, there is no one in here that you are not on God's heart. Think about this. If you gave the thing that you loved most in this world to die, wouldn't the thing that they died for be the most important thing to you for the rest of your existence? We are that thing. We are that being that God sent his son to die for, and so there is nothing that you will ever do that will be insignificant in the eyes of God. It may be small. You may feel like it's small. It's usually us that feels like it's small. Amen? It's usually us that feels like we're not doing enough, that you see someone like a Pastor Stovall, or you see someone like a Billy Graham, or you see someone that's going Mother Teresa, and you're like, well, what can I do? Listen, God is looking for you to play a small but significant role in his story, not your story. But we so many times, don't we get it confused. A couple days ago, I was taking my six-year-old to school. And I put him to bed every night, and we read Bible stories, and I'll pray for him. And in the morning, we always try to do a family devotion together. I would love to say that we do it every morning, but we don't. And this one morning, we are driving to school together, and he looks at me and he says, "Dad, I know what I'm supposed to do with my life." You have no idea, much like when someone tells you that they have a word from you from God, what a six-year-old is getting ready to say to you after he tells you that he knows what he's supposed to do with his life. I was waiting for, like, "I'm going to be a ninja and rid the world of injustice," or something like that. But he looks at me and he says, "I'm supposed to tell my friends at school about Jesus." That's right, you can all in the front row. And so I'm sitting there and I'm like, well, how are you doing this? And so I don't know if you guys, parents, you made, there are these things called silly bands. Silly bands are, I don't know what to relate them to, but they're, if you don't have them at school, you're not cool. And they're these little rubber bands that are in shapes. And so Aiden found, my six-year-old, found a bunch of them that are shaped like Bible stories, like Bible characters, and he wears them on his wrist. And they trade them at school, and so when he gets to trade them, he gets to tell them what it is. It's very quite smart for a six-year-old. I was like, "You must get that from your mother." And so he wears these silly bands, and he tells his friends about Jesus at school. Now, he's still very much a six-year-old because he followed up that sentence with, "Yeah, I told Dylan about Samson and Delilah, so I'm done with him now. I got to move on to someone else about David and Goliath, and when I tell them, I'm done." And I'm just like, "Buddy, we need to have a talk when you get home." But here's my question to you. Where is your school? What is that thing that you are giving your life to? What is that thing that you're living for? What is that thing that when you step, that you are living for God, that you are stepping out for God? For my son, it's his school. It's going to his school and reaching out to his friends. What is it for you? What is the thing that is in your life that you are living your life for? It says this in Jeremiah 1:5. It says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." What God's telling Jeremiah, before everything, before anything came into existence, I knew who you were. And I formed you, and I made you, and I made you to be a prophet. God is telling us the same thing. If there is one thing that I could preach for the rest of my life, because I truly believe that it is what changed me, is that you are made by the hand of the living God. That, man, he took time on you. That he loved you enough to shape you with his hands. Think about this. My wife said this once. I made her get out of the car and walk home the rest of the way. She said, "God spoke everything into existence except for us. He took the time to make you and I with his hands." And so God has a plan and a purpose for your life. He has a calling on you. You are designed with a purpose. Listen to this. This amazes me. It's Genesis 1:27. It says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created male and female. He created them." You are created with the DNA of God inside of you. When God made you, he put his love, his compassion, his peace, his grace. He put all of that inside you. You were made in the very image of God. You are an image bearer of God. And because of that, you are designed to make a difference. Because God made you and put his DNA in you, you were designed to make a difference. And for some of you, you're designed to be that godly mother that stays home and raises children to love and fear God. For some of you, man, you are called to be in the business world. I have a buddy. I don't know if he's in here. If he is, I would really embarrass him. But if he is in here, he works at a rehab facility, like a nursing home type place, and he helps rehabilitate people that have had strokes. That is his ministry. Man, he goes there every day. He gets to pray for people. He gets to lift people up. He gets to minister to people. He's designed to do that. Some of you are designed to go into the business world and to lift high the name of Jesus. Some of you are designed to go into the kids' wing and wipe poopy heinies for the glory of God so that you can be that loving person that that child remembers. So you can start sowing the seed of Jesus Christ into a child at 6 and 7 and 5 and 4 and 3 years old. Some of you are to go into the kids with Pastor Willie and serve in kids and just love kids, because let me tell you something. Kids are hurting. Families are hurting, and we can bring them something that nothing else can offer, and that is the love of Jesus Christ. And God has designed you, and God has designed you to be a person that can do that. Listen, man, there is no job that is too small in the kingdom of God. Everything makes an impact. You are, thank God that we are in a church that is going outside of these walls and changing this city, that is reaching out to the people that are hurting. God has designed Pastor Stovall to have a heart for that stuff. And so we get to go out and be a part of it. God has designed you to be a part of this house. And that's why, man, listen, if you are not a member of this house, we're having orientation right after service. Go sign your behind up. Because I tell you, if you come into this place and you submit yourself to the story of God, God will do more through you and God will do more in you than you could ever possibly imagine. So here's my third question. Who is your neighbor? Who is the person in your life that doesn't know Jesus Christ? When we were at this conference, there was this moment where they had us all pray. My best friend that I grew up with, super far away from God. Super far away. 7 feet tall, just freakishly tall. And God, and they told us to pray. And as I was praying, just a picture of him came into my mind. And that was, God, this is your guy. He needs to be ready because I'm about to come after him. I don't know why I made that cat noise. Should have made like a manly dog noise or something. But who is your neighbor? Who is the person in your life that doesn't know Jesus Christ? Students, who's the person at your school? Who is the student that sits by themselves every day at lunch? Businessmen, who's the person at your office? Who's the person that just, you know that they're going through something, and you know that if you could share with them the love of God, the love of Jesus Christ, that it would change them? Who is that person in your life? We're here because over 2,000 years ago, God became a man in the form of his son, Jesus Christ. And he came and he walked this earth sinless. And he went to the cross and died for our sins. The Bible says that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That means every one of us. When the Bible says all, it means all. And so because of our sin, because God said, here, I'm going to give you free will, we took that free will, man, and we made horrible choices. I've made so many horrible choices. So many bad choices. And God didn't want me to be separated from him. So he became a man. He walked this earth and he went to the cross. And in the last moments of Jesus' life, all of the hurt, all of the pain, all of our sins came upon Jesus. Just think about this for a minute. If you're Jesus, you have no idea what guilt, shame, anger, hate, any of that is. Lust, you don't know that. You don't know what that is. You've led a sinless life. And in that last moment, all of that came on him. And he paid the price for our sins. And that is the hope that we have, because here's the deal, and I hate saying this, because this is not the feel-good sentence of the year. Without Jesus Christ, we go to hell. That's black and white, man, and I wish it was like, if you're just a good person, yeah. You, I mean, like, that you'll be in heaven. The only way that we get to heaven is through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And God is asking you to play a small but significant role in that story. God is asking you to go out to people that don't know about his son and to rescue them. Off the coast of Nantucket, it's real, really, really rocky. And what would happen is all the time there were these shipwrecks. And on these shipwrecks, people were dying like all the time. Bodies were washing up on this beach. And so the town had finally had enough of it. And they decided they were going to go into the life-saving business. And so they came together and they came up with this idea that they were going to build huts all up and down the coast of this island. They were called the Huts of Refuge. And these huts were manned 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And they would stand watch for shipwrecks. And if someone was in a shipwreck, the people that were manning these huts would go out into the sea and they would rescue the people and bring them back. Their motto was, you have to go out, but you don't have to come back in. We are called to be huts of refuge. We are called to leave these doors, to leave this room, and to go out into a sea and rescue people. And God has, listen to this, God has given you everything that you need to be able to do that. There is not one of you in here that lacks the ability to point someone to Jesus Christ because you are made with his DNA inside of you. You were made in the image of God the Father, because this is what it says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Jesus came to seek and to save what was lost, and he is asking us to be a part of it. He is asking you to be a part of it. There is no greater honor than to be asked to be a part of God's story. And what I want to do right now is we're getting ready to go into a time of prayer. And what I said a few minutes ago, and I'm not trying to scare you, and I know that we don't say this stuff a lot, but without Jesus Christ, the truth is that you're going to go to hell. And God has sent people. You're in this place right now for this specific reason. It is not a random accident that you are here. It is not a random accident if you're watching on the internet. You are here because God wants you here right now. And what we want to do is we want to give you the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then with all of that, you have everything that you will ever need to rescue people. Listen, we are designed to make a difference, each and every one of you. You are here to make a small but significant role. There is no one in here that is insignificant to God. Nobody. God loves you all the time as much as he can. All the time. You can't do anything to make him love you any less, and you can't do anything to make him love you any more. He loves you as much as he can all the time. And we are called to reach the people for Christ that God has put in our lives. Amen? Let's pray.